go. Welcome back to the Church Builder Series, an opportunity for us to have a look at the building blocks that will make up our 2020 church plant. Last week, we saw that in order for our church plant to be a success, it needs to be full of people who are gospel intoxicated. And so full of people who have hearts for those who are different from them, hearts that are full of grace and eager to reach out. This week, building block two is word-centered. Our church plant needs to be word-centered. We say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We say, oh, you're all talk, but no action. We say, I don't care what you say. And so we mean that words don't matter, they don't do anything. But no, actually, words are really powerful, aren't they? I hate you. You're stupid. I love you. You're brilliant. I decided to put the negative words first because I needed to follow them with the positive words. If I said the negative words last, then you might get so upset that you can't listen to the rest of the sermon. Because that's how words work, isn't it? Words are so powerful. And our words are so powerful because our God is so powerful. His word is so powerful. And so in order to have a successful church plant to the glory of God, a powerful church plant, we need our church to be centered on God's powerful word. We need to be listening to it and speaking it to one another. Well, come and have a look with me at God's powerful word in creation. Let's start right at the beginning. That's our foundation. I know you know it, but we need to get this foundation right there. So let's go Genesis 1. And we will do a lot of time in the word today. So here we go. Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So there was nothing, and then there was something. But the something was formless. It was chaotic, messy, and it was empty. Now, let's go to verse 11 of chapter 1. By his word, God brings life. Verse 11, it's the vegetation. By his word, God brings life as he creates fishes and birds in verse 20. He creates creatures that move on the ground in verse 24. By his word, he brings life. And as he creates the vegetables and the creatures, by his word, he's also filling things that were previously empty. Verse 2, things were empty. We have later on empty sky, empty water, empty land, but then he fills that land with vegetation. He fills that water with fishes. He fills the sky with birds. He fills that land with creatures by his word. By his word, he brings life. By his word, he fills. And by his word, he brings order to the chaos, form to the formlessness. He tidies up the mess. In verse 6, you can see it there, that he separates. In verse 9, he gathers. In verse 11, he arranges things into kind. See, he's tidying things up. He's bringing order where there was disorder. All by his powerful word. Giving life by his word. Filling by his word. Order by his word. And at the pinnacle of his speaking, bringing life, filling and ordering, he creates humanity in verse 26. And so we find that the God who speaks also reveals and relates by his word. Sorry, kids, I'm a bit behind on the PowerPoint. God reveals himself by his word. In verse 24, chapter 1, verse 24, he speaks, sorry, chapter 2, verse 24. No, it is 21. Verse 1:24. Yeah, so in chapter 1, verse 24, we see that he speaks concerning the animals. But then with this particular animal, with the humans, and this is verse 28, definitely chapter 1, 28, he speaks to them. Can you see it? He said, to them. God speaks, and so God reveals, God relates to humans by his powerful word. And we can speak and reveal ourselves and relate to him by our words too, because we're made in God's image. That's verse 27. Humans are made in God's image and so made to be speakers like him, speaking to him and to one another, revealing and relating ourselves to him and one another. It's interesting to note that the very first time that human speech is recorded, this is chapter 2, verse 23, what is it? It's an exclamation about the wonders of the wife, isn't it? That's the first time humans speak. Husbands, take note. Have you said this about your wife recently? So the first time is very lovely, these wonderful words of wow, I've got a wife. But the second time that humans speak, we're watching a horror show. This is chapter 3. In chapter 3, we learn that words can be corrupted and used to bring emptiness, disorder, and even death. In chapter 3, verse 1, a snake speaks. We're in trouble. And the snake corrupts God's word, and the people listen to that word, and they speak like it. And so they twist God's word too. This is verse 3 of chapter 3. The people choose the slippery words of the snake instead of God's word. The people distort and disobey God's word. Sin rears its ugly head or raises its ugly voice, so that when the people next hear God's powerful words, they're, chapter 3, verse 7, ashamed, verse 10, afraid. And when they speak their now corrupted words, we hear humans speak words of shame in verse 10 and blame in verse 12. Sin has entered the world, it's corrupted everything, even the gift of words that God has given humanity made in his image. And so now they, instead of speaking words like God, giving life, filling and order, they naturally speak words of disorder and death, not revealing and relating, but hiding and hurting. The psalmist writes, their throats are open graves. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Humans speak empty words of death. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but your hurtful words will cripple me for the rest of my life. Don't you hate the way that words can do this? That we remember so clearly those hurtful words that were spoken so long ago. Humans speak so very naturally, so very easily, words of death. But God continues to speak his powerful words of life, order, filling. He continues to seek to reveal and relate to his humanity. For thousands of years, God speaks powerful words, sees that it's written down, often in the form of promises, hundreds of promises, to bring humanity back to our position of image bearers who speak like him, once again able to speak powerful words that bring life, filling, revealing, and relating like God. And these promises are fulfilled in his Son. We've seen God's word in creation, and now we see his word in his Son. When the time to fulfill the promises arrived and God rolled up his sleeves and came into this world, the God-man Jesus said to his followers in Mark chapter 1, verse 38, "Let's go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came." Of course, the God-man Jesus was a speaker. He came to speak God's word. And his words were unlike any other human before him or after him. His words always brought life, filling, and order. They revealed God. They related people to God. Let's go to the Gospel of John now, jumping into the New Testament, John chapter 4, and listen and see if you can hear God's life filling, ordering, revealing, and relating in these words from Jesus. John 4 and verse 14. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. See, words of life filling you up with eternal life. Now come to John 12 and verse 49. John 12, 49. Jesus says that he did not speak of his own accord, but the Father who sent him commanded him what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever Jesus says is just what the Father has told him to say. So here we have a way for us to return to a life with God, a way to come to the Father again, and it's through Jesus, who was sent from the Father to speak God's words, life-giving, filling, ordering, revealing, and relating words. So many words. Some people call John's Gospel the talky Gospel because it's so full of Jesus' words. If you've got a red letter Bible, there's red everywhere. He talks and talks and talks and talks, which means that he really gets our attention when he stops. This is John 19, verses 8 to 9, where Jesus stops. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid and he went back inside his palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. See, no words from Jesus. No words from Jesus. Something serious must be going on. Jesus was only silent when it came time for him to die for sin. It was the silence before the storm. Jesus spoke and spoke until it came time for him to take on human sin and the emptiness, the disorder, and the death that sin brings on the cross, where he dealt with the root cause of words being wrong along with everything else, where Jesus made a way for humanity to return to life through union with him, where his death could become our death and his life our life. Now let's go, this is our final big move. Let's go to the book of Ephesians and we'll hang out here for a while. We're in Ephesians chapter 2 and looking at our union with him. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. See, there's the life, only it's resurrection life. Eternal life that we can enjoy now. In Ephesians 3 and 19, halfway through, it says that you may be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. In Jesus, we can have fullness, be filled up as God fills us up with himself. In Ephesians 4, verse 15, this is our section, isn't it? Ephesians 4:15, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is our head, that is Christ. See, we've got our head back. Things are back in right order. Jesus is in the right position again. And so in Jesus, through our union with Jesus, we can go back. Jesus has made a way for us to go back to believing, obeying, and even speaking God's word again. For when Jesus returned to God the Father, he sent his Spirit, and the Spirit of Jesus empowered a small group of his followers to speak and write God's word, a bit like the prophets of long ago, so they could contribute more words to the word of God, words about the things that Jesus began to do and teach on earth and the things that he continued to do and teach by his Spirit. There were letters to churches and a revelation of the past, present, and future of the church in symbols and imagery. And the Spirit of Jesus, while no longer revealing new words from God, continues to work in, with, and through Jesus' followers today. as Jesus enables us to speak his words of life, filling, ordering, revealing, and relating today. We're in our key text, Ephesians 4, and we're at our final point. We've seen God's word in creation, life-filling, ordering, revealing, relating, God's word in his Son, dying for our sin, rising to enable us to have new lives where we can speak God's word again. And now we're at God's word in his church, where the risen Jesus, by his Spirit, gives word gifts to his church. This is people who are especially skilled in understanding and speaking God's word to other people. And they are the most powerful gifts to the church since Jesus. And it's not because they are powerful, but it's because of God's powerful word to us that comes to us through them. It's not who they are, but it's what they do that makes them so valuable. And what do? They speak. And what do they speak? They speak God's word. In these verses, where are we? In verse 11, it's the apostles, isn't it? That means the sent ones. It's that small group of men sent by Jesus to continue his work, speaking and writing God's word, doing his amazing works. It's the prophets. We don't know the details of this gift. Possibly a group of people who were skilled in applying God's word to specific situations that the church finds itself in. It's the evangelists, the guys who work hard, and girls, on speaking God's word to those who haven't heard. It's the pastor and teacher who leads and protects God's people by making sure they know and understand God's word. All the gifts are a little bit different, but they all have the same role, speaking God's word. And when they do their job, when they speak God's word to us, they get the church ready to serve one another, ready to do ministry. The church gets prepared, all set to, now we're in verse 12, build each other up to be like Jesus. When they speak God's word, we have unity, bringing the church together. We have maturity. We're in verse 15 there. Maturity, which is again, it's being just like Jesus. And every member is a minister, child, adult, first-timer, old-timer, because every person in the church that can hear God's word and speak God's word can be serving the church by speaking, by building each other up in love to be like Jesus. I really like superheroes. Do you like superheroes? Maybe it's just the kids. That's okay, me and the kids. There's the latest superhero movie, it's something like Brown Tiger. Is that right? What's the latest superhero movie? It's called Black Panther, isn't it? But we love superheroes, these guys who can do amazing things in the world. And so kids, this is really cool. You have a superpower. By speaking God's word, you can take God's word and you can speak God's word to an adult, even an adult. And to an adult, you can give them life-filling ordering, revelation. You can relate them to God, to your superpower. The church speaks the truth and builds each other up in love to be like Jesus, the kids and the adults. Not keeping each other spiritual babies and encouraging each other to listen to all sorts of words spoken by all sorts of people, usually on Facebook. Certainly not listening to the snake talk of fallen humanity that brings hiding and hurting, emptiness, disorder and death. We're in verse 14 of Ephesians. No, we're listening to God's word coming to us through apostles written in our Bibles, prophets perhaps, evangelists, definitely hello, pastor teachers, hi Dave, and each other. In verse 15, you're on centre stage. All of us are, actually. We're all speaking the truth, all in love to each other. Each of us, all of us, building each other up in love, verse 16. Growing together to be like Jesus. alive, full and ordered in him. God revealing and relating himself to us in him. We're living the way we should be living, finally, through his words, spoken in our words to each other. Our words are powerful because God's word is powerful. But our words become incomparably more powerful once we start speaking God's word. When we speak God's word, we can bring life, filling, order. We can reveal God to the world. We can relate people to God. And so, we must not neglect God's word for anything. Let's finish off with some really concrete plans for our 2020 church plans. Firstly, we must have God's word, the Bible, in our church plant. The Bible in our hands, Bible readings in our meetings, the Bible shaping everything we think, say and do in our church, the Bible in our personal lives. We will be word-centered, Bible-centered, book-centered, conscious of genre, context, history, culture, these things that God has used to bring his truth to us. We'll have sermons from the Bible. Our GCs will have Bible studies. Evangelism will be biblical. Imagine that. Number two, we must have Jesus gifts. We must have people in our church who are especially able to speak God's word to us and to the world, and so equip us to speak God's word to each other. We must keep our eyes out for people with word gifts. We've got to allocate time and money to developing word gifts. We'll embrace the MTS program as a great way to raise up new word-gifted leaders. We must have people doing theological studies to prepare them, to prepare us to speak God's word. Thirdly, we must have ministers. Actually, we need a church full of ministers. That's not me, that's you. Well, actually, it's you and me. Remember earlier on, it was on the PowerPoint, but the word service is exactly the same as the word ministry. Ministers are people ready to speak the truth to each other in love, ready to work hard for each other, to build one another up in love. We need a church full of ministers. We won't go for grumbling and complaining, those words. It's so easy to do when a church is trying to find its feet, everything going wrong. But it's so dangerous for a new church. Grumbling and complaining are the fastest ways to pull down a church. No, we speak the truth in love, working hard in love. Negatively, thinking about 2020 church plant, we must not neglect the word for social action, although we will definitely be a socially active church. It's going to be so tempting in Hobart. It's a very needy place, but we must not neglect the word for the social action. Thankfully, in Acts chapter 6, the apostles faced this dilemma and they knew they must not neglect the word, and yet they also had God's gracious heart for those who were different to them. And so they chose 7 people to go and feed the poor widows so that they could continue to preach the word. So we'll follow this pattern. We'll be very involved in caring for the poor financially, but also spiritually in Hobart, but we must give priority to the word. Because it's only the word that gives life, fills, orders and relates people to God. We must not neglect the word for pragmatism, although we must be pragmatic. We'll probably be a very untraditional church for the sake of being successful in gathering people and creating a community. Goodness, I'm praying that we can have one of those nice new jazzy buildings in the university as it moves to the city. But we'll never let go of God's word, even if it might feel a bit inconvenient, a bit clunky. We won't avoid the word when it says uncomfortable things or takes such a long time to say things. We will not neglect the word for coolness. It's not cool to say that there's one way to God. It's not cool to say that hell is real. It's not cool to say that God must be your king. But it's the truth, it's God's word, and we will never neglect God's word. Not for anything. And finally, as we're thinking about our building block, word-centered, our church must be centered on God's word, listening to it, speaking it to one another. Finally, And perhaps most jarringly, ready for a gear change? She'll be right, mate. She'll be right, mate. Oh, Australian English. I might try and end every sermon with a bit of "she'll be right, mate, no worries." I could imagine that some of you feel a bit anxious when we think about the 2020 move, and so I want you to hear "she'll be right, mate." Last week, our "she'll be right, mate," I didn't say "she'll be right, mate," just really wanted to get your attention at this point, so I'm saying "she'll be right, mate." Last week, "she'll be right" moment was when I said, if we're gospel intoxicated, the church plant will succeed. Don't stress, just love the gospel. This week, hopefully you've already picked it up along the way, but just to make sure, this week, "she'll be right, mate, because we've got God's word." Don't stress, we've got this because we've got God's word. I love this bit. So comforting for me as preacher, teacher, evangelist, planter, guy. It's God's word. Listen to it, obey it, speak it, we'll be right. So comforting to you as a word speaker, as someone on the church planning team perhaps. It's God's word, listen to it, obey it, speak it, we'll do great. So comforting as we take our precious children into this. Will they be okay? Yeah, we'll give them God's word. We'll give them God's big picture Bible. They'll do great. So she'll be right. We can be confident. We'll be a church full of blessing and life for us and for Hobart and the world. Because we'll be a church full of God's word. What can we contribute to Hobart? What can we do to make Hobart an even better city? We can bring God's life, God's filling, God's order, God's revelation and relationship to it. We can bring God's word to it. Whoa. At the end of Paul's time with the Ephesian elders, this is Acts 20:32. Paul, certain that he would never see his precious community again, tears streaming down his face, I'm sure, he proclaimed, this is Acts 20:32, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." It's not about me. Is Luke able to build us up? It's not about our elders. It's not about our GC leaders. Not about our Sunday school teachers. It's about God and the word of his grace. And if we have that, we do fine. More than fine. We'll be full of life. Lives that are being filled, ordered with God revealing and relating himself to us as our church is centered on God's word, listening to it and speaking it to one another. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank you for your word in creation, for those powerful words bringing life, filling, order, revealing and relating. We thank you for your word in your Son who lived and died to bring your word to us so that we can have your word at the centre of our 2020 church plant. We can be listening to it and speaking it to one another and so being built up together to be like Jesus together. Please ensure that your word is always at the centre. Don't let us neglect it in our church, in our homes, and especially in our hearts. Please give us confidence in your word and in its power. And so make us eager to speak it to each other and grow each other to be like Jesus, and eager to speak it in the world and so bring life, filling, order, a revelation and a relationship between this world and you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to sing to wrap it up, the new song again. So if we can all stand up, we'll sing.